Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. I'm like four. Jitter's ready. Stand by.
Everyone, welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm Frank Gao, joined by my co-host Mac Unlock. We're doing a break from guests today. We're going to give you a bit of a recap of what both of us have been up to this year so far. We've done episodes like this in the past. We like to put it in there usually near the end of the year and the middle of the year. But we're going to start off with Matt's competitive season, and then we'll move on to mine. So, Matt, going into this year, what was the slate of matches that you had scheduled for, let's just say, the first quarter of the year?
Honestly, keeping it light. Last year, I would say I didn't necessarily burn myself out, but I burned myself out with all the things I was kind of getting myself involved in. So I wanted to kind of take a step back and take a slower approach, spend more time at home, while still going to the matches that are important to me and I feel like I'm going to get my best bang for my buck, per se. So I start, you know, locals helping out with Quantico Shooting Club, obviously there, you know, just trying to maintain that local continuity with the community here and help build that community. So that's one thing that I found to be relatively important, to continue building the community, whether it's in three gun, two gun, which I think you and I both have had a conversation. It's really hard to build a three gun community, in an area where it's just not that prevalent, and two gun has kind of taken lead here. So I think going forward, we're just going to kind of continue, maneuvering toward, two gun matches. I think you agree there.
Yeah, that's the two gun days are always sold out. And the three gun days will sell out if we, add the two gun option. I will say, looking back at all the PCSL or just multi-gun matches that we've hosted at Quantico, we've had horrific weather almost every single weekend. I don't think there's been a single weekend where we've gotten through it without just getting absolutely soaked.
Where's the three gun day? We didn't get soaked.
We didn't.
But there was heavy winds.
Yeah. Or I think, no, the last one we did, I can't remember if it was raining or it was, because
it was raining.
We only had like five. I mean, granted, not a lot of shooters showed up. And the only reason two gun was bolstered was because IMT brought out an entire class. But the three gun population was definitely slim. And then we had high winds the next day, so we basically had to swap out some of the stage designs for static steel, which PCSL rule sets allow for. So I get it. I also think, Quantico, I think those bays in Quantico are good, like, for one or maybe two guns, but when you're trying to put that many different, like, varieties of targets, with the exception of maybe the bay two, and you've put together some really good stages. It's just that much more challenging, you know, like how many good three gun matches are held in what's essentially an indoor match setup.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's something that it's not easy to do, and you can't charge premium prices because you're not going to get premium results from what you can do.
Right. And you kind of have to really want, we don't have the issue with USPSA or PCSL. People love shooting on Quantico. I don't think we've quite like proven ourselves yet in three gun realm to where people are like, yeah, I'm going to deal with the hassle of the VCC just to come on base and shoot.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't shoot in the side berms. And one of the benefits of three gun is with the most three gun matches, you're allowed to shoot into the side berms, especially with shotgun. Yeah. It's just a fact of where we're located and what we're capable of doing. You know, years ago, I was asked, you know, hey, can you put on a major match here on Quantico? I was like, I can, but I can't use the bays. Well, why not? Well, this is why. I was like, we can put a good natural terrain match on if we use all the outlying ranges, but that's going to cause a lot of people to have to travel further distances, potentially get lost. There's just a lot of factors that go into it. It's just, you know, can it be done? Absolutely. Is the juice worth the squeeze? If you know as much as I do, and I'm not going to just put all that information out there, in my opinion, it is not. Between having to get people on base, you know, and having to deal with all the other organizations on base and get the approvals that you need, it's just, it's a lot of hassle for what it's worth.
Right. I would say during championships, the Pistol team put on a 10-stage USPSA match or pistol match. And that, I think, you know, that ran up against the constraints provided by weapons training battalion ranges. One of them had to get thrown out, and it was a very good match. They did a really good job, but I think that's about like the ceiling of what's possible in that specific run of ranges. On base, I think you run into similar issues, specifically like having to drive around with weapons and ammo, which is trickier with government stuff. But yeah, you just run into all other kinds of logistical issues.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would say that's kind of the beginning of the season. I wanted to shoot Marine Corps championships, at least the pistol stuff. I was going to help RO Marine Corps championships, but between work, which I only work 10 minutes away, but between some of the stuff going on there that I kind of have my hands in, and then Battle for the South going on, and with the shift in days, between the Tuesday to the Thursday, on that Thursday, I was, you know, you guys switched the pistol match to the Thursday, which that was the day I was leaving for Battle for the South to get down and hang out with everybody. Which, I mean, it's unfortunate. I really wanted to help you guys. I mean, everybody knows how I feel about the team, and I'm still constantly going over there whenever I have the time just to see how everybody's doing. You know, but I'm glad to see things progressing in the direction that they are. One of our future episodes I'll leak out is we're going to be talking to the company commander of the Advanced Marksmanship, AMTC, yeah. Advanced Marksmanship Training Company. And we're going to talk about the new format for inter-service rifle championships, which it's really cool to see the direction of that. But my first major match of the season was Battle for the South. And, you know, it wasn't a great match for me. I hit 20. I'm out of all the long range steel, I couldn't hit one, which I'm really happy about that. You know, I think there were 22 long range targets. I hit 21 out of 22. I'm pleased. Pistol, I finally got comfortable shooting with a dot on pistol in the middle of the match. I still wasn't fully comfortable. Shotgun, even though you have a box fed shotgun and all the ammo in the world, does not mean things are going to go great for you. If you don't train and practice for it, things just aren't going to go. And I guess to say, you know, I am, when you do something for so long, there comes a point where you don't necessarily have the same passion and drive. And, you know, the first few years you do it as a hobby and, you know, also to get takeaways to train your platoon. That's how I took it. Then I got to the team and it became my job. And then you do it so much, I don't want to say you get burnt out, but it doesn't have the same allure that it once did. So, you know, the past year and a half has been kind of finding myself, and this year I definitely haven't been putting the time in that I necessarily should if I want to stay competitive. But what I will say is Jason ran a phenomenal match. It was really good. Like the RO crew. I mean, I will say hands down, Jason has the best ROs in the entire country. Out of every match I've been to, every single one of them knows what's going on. And I think that's a testament to the type of matches that he designs. I believe that's a testament to the way he takes care of his ROs. They're the same people day in, day out, every single match. When you go shoot a monthly, it's pretty much the same people coming out to help RO the monthly matches, which then it transitions into the same people that you're going to see at his major matches. And Jason puts on 4 major matches in a year, and they're really fun. And he's always trying to improve, always trying to do something different, always trying to have fun. Like one of the fun best stages, you know, I popped my cherry early in the match because our first stage was you're shooting on a trailer that's moving, and you know, you're having to engage with pistol on these steel gongs that are probably about, I don't know, 40 yards away or so, maybe a little bit further. I mean, they're large enough to where they're hittable, but you're on the move and that bounce is real. And it's just, it was just really fun. And then, you know, hide over bore, kicked my ass with the shotgun shooting through the breach door. I think it took me 7 shots to get through that fucking door.
That the same thing happened to me at Duskin.
Yeah.
Frank, what was his name? Schaff, like your friend?
Jeremy Schaff. Schaff.
He was RO. Jay Schaff. Yeah. He was ROing. And I just kept shooting. I was like, what the? Okay. I don't overbore. So, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Same shotgun, too.
Yes. I felt like I had to aim 3 inches over the damn fucking wooden stick.
Yeah. It's honestly like, you know, in the moment, you're like, of course, like common sense dipshit. But, like it honestly, it threw me for a loop the first time it happened. So used to it in rifle, I just shotgun just throws you for a loop.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I think it was my first or second. It was my first stage of day 2. You know, halfway through the match, like, I truly got comfortable shooting pistol with a dot on it. Like I was taking all my targets out with pistol on the move, and they just weren't paper targets. They were steel targets. So I was able to just keep moving forward and hit targets on the move. And like, I didn't do that much with pistol, but I mean, it fucking worked really well with the dot on. You know, you're just able to have a better target focus and keep sights on the gun. Some things I struggled with were some of the longer shots. You know, before you're just, you know, you have a front sight on and you just put it on the target and you're not really thinking about that hide over bore or anything like that, or not hide over bore, but offset aiming for bullet drop. So here, you know, you have a smaller dot and you know, they're sporty targets. They're not like small, but they're sporty enough and they're 40 to 60 yard shots. So just, you know, aiming a little bit higher, you know, that definitely helps. And then, you know, on that, because it was a jungle run stage, you know, going into the shotgun, you know, one thing I learned, which I, you know, it's on me. Do not top your reloading mags up all the way with a dissident. You want to make sure there's room for one more round, so it just slides right in and sticks in. That's on me, like not fully preparing for the match. But am I upset with the result of the match right now? Not necessarily. I have a lot going on right now between, you know, we're doing this podcast, between work. I'm going back to school, getting my education. Mm-hmm. Things have been taking priority at the moment. over my shooting, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying earlier about you know, doing this as a job and needing to take a step back, that's something I see in a lot of the guys on the team. Usually in the off season, it never really ends for them, right? The summer season is competitive, and then they go into the Mi'kmaq season, and there's just a never ending cycle. So almost every single one of them has something else they do. You know, Sam Nelson likes to snowboard, and Cardi B, he likes to go on hikes. So I think it's important to, like, we've talked about this before too, getting burnt out and needing to take a step back yourself, love the sport, or call back to you before you get back into it. So, I mean, everything you've listed, all your other priorities are definitely in order. I mean, you're still going out there and you're still competing. And I'm sure in the future you'll find a stretch of time where all the other stuff in your life hopefully slows down a little bit and allows you to focus a little more. But I do want to talk a little bit about the other part of you attending major matches, which is, you know, we've talked a little bit about media production, and you found yet another money funnel to just throw dollary dues into. So yeah, you've been getting into live streaming and kind of the sports casting part of it. So going into, and you've done this with Jason Byerly matches before, you know, he's encouraged it in a lot of ways. What was your approach to the media portion of Battle for the South? And then how did you get your equipment ready for this match?
So back during the Fall Brawl, I had done it prior. I did it at the Fall Brawl, and I was happy with that. With a week of preparation and, like, let's just wing it, see how it works. And I knew it works. I wanted to try and get away from the GoPro. And I wanted to try out some of my DSLR cameras, which brings a whole other level of complexity, I found out. One thing I wish I would have done is, how far back do I actually need to go back in order to get the full scope of the range? Quite honestly, it would have had to have been further back than what I wanted to. The second day doing it, I was like, well, let me try an angle shot. And, you know, what I found out is, like, one side you could see everything just perfectly, and the other side you can't. And so it's like, okay, do I want to spend more money into this? And, like, there's these things called, like, I think they're the Holyland, like, wireless receivers, transmitters, and you can put them on your DSLRs. And so then wirelessly, you can have all that, all that stream, that feed, go wirelessly into your computer, streaming into the live stream. And then you can catch both sides. Those are about $700 a piece. Do I necessarily want to spend that money right now? I don't think so. I don't know. Or do I want to take a step back and say, instead of doing the DSLR, do I just want to go back to utilizing GoPro? Because it did work. The only thing with the DSLR or mirrorless cameras is I can easily get both onto the screen, or I can get them both transmitting onto the computer, whereas with the GoPro you can only do one. And so I would need to have two computers out there. And I had fun. Like, we had Eric Torres on. Like, there's a definitely a balance, and there's a balance in how much time you can actually spend keeping a captivated audience. And it gets harder and harder, like, from day one to day two. Me and Jason, we talked about Fall Brawl and how that shoot off is going to go, and I'm not going to tease out what that's going to be just yet. That's not my place to do that, but I like the idea and the direction it's going, because it's going to be a lot of fun. So whenever it comes to the media, like, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's different. You get to actually talk with people in a live setting. But one thing I learned is I like I also like to mingle with the whole crowd. I'm an introvert that has turned into an extrovert, and I want to be around people. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm doing something like that, I can't necessarily be around the people. I am focused on what's going on right then and there. And that's an aspect that I kind of miss, the community aspect of just being able to hang out and hang out with my homies.
Yeah, for sure. That's, I mean, that's the whole reason you go to those major matches. You know, you don't get that many opportunities. Well, now that you have a camper, it might be easier for you to go down and, you know, join the Zoo City crowd and just park yours right next to Bob Osbeck's and, you know, mm-hmm. you guys just bro out the night before a match. But yeah, it makes sense, man. I think it's really cool what you're doing. I guess, does it give you an appreciation for what sportscasters do, being able to watch something live unfold before their eyes and just being able to like carry on a conversation while dissecting the particulars of what's going on in the sport?
Dude, yeah, like it's not easy. And
Sorry, I just thought of the fucking clip where the kid just goes like, boom goes the dynamite. Like, but go ahead.
No, it's just it's not an easy thing to do. And like, you know, I wish I had prepared myself a bit better for it. Like, there's so much stuff that I really wanted to do for that. I wanted to be able to cut into different videos of like showing, you know, who is the shooter that's coming up, you know, have like some kind of background on them. You know, but what it really comes down to is my bandwidth with time. Like, yeah. do I want to do everything I can to put out like the most perfect product ever? Yes, I really do. But it just, we talked about it already. It comes down to prioritization of things going on in my life.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the sportscasters, they have entire dedicated staffs that I imagine are piping things into their ear, like giving them information sheets before they start talking about a game. And like, I think certain bits of context are just not a part of the Recon and USPSA, just simply because there's not that much money in them. There's not that much analytics, like whether or not someone's strength is in one of the three guns or it's in movement. Those are all little bits of information that would add a bit of flavor in any other sports cast. But I just don't think we're just not there in the shooting sports.
No. And that's a whole career in and of itself, and having a whole team of people behind you to do that. Now, I will say, and me and Eric Torres from the Memorial Three Gun Foundation are talking about doing something very similar, but having a team of people to do it.
Yeah, I think if you
and
crowds,
I won't and I won't be the guy on the camera. I'll be the guy to kind of help set up and get things moving.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting initiatives to, you know, try to measure performance outside of classifications. The use of the ELO system has gained a lot of traction, particularly within some shooting sports. Are you familiar with ELO?
No.
Okay, for people that aren't familiar, it's used in chess, right? Competitive chess, and it's more applicable as a one-on-one metric. For example, if you and I are to ELO both 500 and I beat you in a chess match, I'll go up to 600, you go down to 400, right? Mm. But then if we play again and you win, then you're going to see a greater increase because you took on somebody of a higher skill level. And then mine's going to dip because I lost to someone of a, you know, lower ELO. So it takes all that into account and then gives you an idea of like how people match up against competition that's better than them or worse than them. So I think there's a lot of ways to slice the pie that we honestly haven't even gotten into that are very nerdy and require a lot of time. But I think, you know, crowdsourcing it and having some volunteers get together is probably produce some pretty cool results.
Mm-hmm. And you know, me and Jason did have a conversation, and he asked me, where are you trying to take this? Like, with you doing like the video stuff and like the live stream. And at the time I was like, well, I think I really just like doing the commentary, the podcast stuff. But last week I helped a friend out make a video, and it had nothing to do with shooting whatsoever. And it was just recording him teaching a class, you know, and then putting it together. And it's like, I wasn't on camera. I wasn't on screen. I didn't have any speaking parts. It's just setting everything up and being like, you know, telling him, this is what we can do. This is how we can do it. If, you know, here, you know, when you're standing here, this is a furthest that you can move over before you come out of the scene. And so I just kind of helped direct it and, you know, film it and then edit it. And then, you know, I put it together at the end of the day. And this was like, I did this in, I don't know, editing took, you know, we were going back and forth. So editing off and on with time took about 2-3 hours in the same day. The recording took, you know, maybe 2 hours. And realistically, we only used 10 minutes of the videos. And it was, that was really fun. You know, Colonel Hall used to joke with me and he was like, you have a face for radio. and I love the guy to death. Even though I think I'm a little sexier than that, but no, I
that was before is that before you grew the beard?
Yes, it was.
All right.
The beard makes me look, you know,
yeah,
proper.
Yeah.
No. So I like doing, I've really come to enjoy a lot of the behind the scenes things. It's just fun to me.
Yeah. I guess, you know, you and I have talked and you like creative endeavors do interest you. Do you think, I guess the visual, and I mean, it's something we do on the podcast too, but I guess the visual part of being able to put something together, craft a narrative, basically be a storyteller, is that what appeals to you about the whole process?
I would say so. Not necessarily being the storyteller, but shaping the story through the storyteller.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a lot of what we do as Marines is, I mean, first impressions matter a lot in our lifestyle. And it's not too much different from how you construct information or in a brief or how you teach a group of people. So I think it's something you've been doing organically anyway, but it's cool. It's cool to see it take on a new life in your post-Marine Corps career. Yeah. Excited to see where it takes you.
Yeah. And now to kind of get on to the other match that I wanted to talk about. So a friend of mine, fellow teammate, Brittany Long, she pressured and then convinced me to sign up for this match called the Gun Run up at Chattahawk Defense. And I'm just like, Brittany, I don't want to fucking do this. I'm fucking old. My knees hurt. I had, you know, I've been running for over 20 fucking years and it's just something that doesn't interest me anymore. And you know, she convinced me. I was like, fine, I'll fucking do it. Let's get it. When sign up, she told me when sign up's up is, and I almost forgot when. And then she like sends me a text 10 minutes before sign up. And so then it's like, fuck, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And so then I slowly registered and I, you know, and I got in. And she didn't, you know, but she was registering at the same time. And it's because they have it broken down into time slots and she was signing up for the slower race group, which fills up faster. And I'm just like, fuck, you got in. I didn't. Do you want my slot? She's like, no, that's your slot. You can have it. And I'm thinking, fuck, I'm offering
it. take it.
Just take it. Just please. Take it now. And, you know, honestly, you know, I didn't put much effort into the run portion. I just didn't. Like ever since the last TTG event that I went to, I don't want to say I've been in a slump, but I have been in a bit of a slump whenever it comes to physical fitness. Like I burnt myself out last year with fitness and, you know, I'm slowly coming around to it. And I told myself I'm coming out here just to kind of see how I feel, see how I enjoy this, not be competitive and just go out and have a good time. Like if anything, I am not in the Marine Corps anymore. I don't have to race people. I don't have to do anything for anybody. Anything I do nowadays, it's for me. And that's the mindset I went in with it. And I didn't find myself trying to race anybody because I knew I wasn't going to beat anybody. And nor did I care. But one thing I wanted to make sure is that my shooting was good, and my shooting was good. I felt comfortable at that point shooting a red dot pistol. My rifle work has always been pretty spot on. But I got done with the race and I was just like, that sucked, but that was pretty fucking fun. Like, I had a good time, and there's different layers of why it was fun. One, I bought a new camper. You already yeah. stated that earlier. Uh-huh. I bought a camper. So that was cool, you know, driving it up to West Virginia, parking at the campsite 10 minutes away from the range, you know, cooking venison burgers and hanging out with people. Cool thing number two, showing up to the race, showing up to the match brief at 7:30 in the morning, getting the match brief, and then afterwards going back to my camper, loading mags and doing, you know, just chilling out, drinking, eating, stuff like that, getting my body fueled. And then about 45 minutes before my start time, going back to the match site and then, you know, just getting everything together. And then it comes to the match, to the race, and just going out there and doing my thing and come back. I am fucking done for the day. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to reset targets. I can sit back and I can talk to people. And, you know, I met a lot of people. I talked to a lot of people. And quite honestly, it felt like I was surrounded by the three gun crowd of 10 years ago. Nothing against the three gun crowd from today. Like, they're all my friends. But people that are just going out there, they're not worried about scores or times or anything like that. They are out there to have fun. Like, one interesting aspect, and, you know, that was cool, is there are no classes or divisions. There's no female male category. There's no open division, TAC ops division. You know, there's none of that. It's just run what you brung, but you're going to be carrying it throughout the whole thing.
So, you mentioned the stages are blind. How was the shooting? You know, was it pretty straightforward? Did you find that it was complex and challenging enough given the nature of the event?
I would say it was relatively straightforward, but in a practical aspect. It's not as complex as three gun or USPSA, where you're running around all over the place and moving, but you're getting, like, when you run up to the stage, you know, they're going to clear your rifle out. Once your rifle is cleared, they are going to give you a stage brief. You have to ingest that stage brief right then and there. And then they're like, hey, let us know when you're ready. And, like, this is all on the clock, like, for the run. But, you know, then you go into, like, each stage at this event was a 90-second par time. So it's like, you have to figure out on the fly just by looking at it, looking at the stage, how you want to shoot it. And most of it was pretty straightforward and directed. But you're not shooting in a bullseye fashion. You're shooting in a practical shooting manner. Okay. So that is one thing I really liked. You know, would it be cool to run all over the place and move and everything? Sure, I would have a benefit from that, you know, but I also think that's a beneficial thing to learn and understand, and being able to come up with the stage plan on the fly. But I had a good time.
Yeah, I find in the instances where you absolutely have zero preparation, you kind of, like, you see where the floor is, right, in mm-hmm. your shooting, like the instinctive level. I don't know that I would just want to do that, because I think, you know, like, you still want to push your ceilings in a lot of ways, and being able to plan a stage plan and being able to throttle, control aggression accordingly is important. But I don't know, a blind shoot once in a while isn't a bad idea. Do you think you're going to do another one?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I Brittany and I had a conversation after the match, and you know, both Brittany and I have kind of been feeling the same way. Like, we're not necessarily getting the same fulfillment that we once did. But this kind of reinvigorated our efforts to get better, to do better, to be better, both physically and, you know, in marksmanship. So I do see myself doing more of these. You know, I got home and I started looking up what other running guns are out there. I reached out to a friend, Darren Crunkshank, and because he's done a lot of them. And so I'm like, hey, I just got done with this. He's like, how was it? I was like, dude, I had a fucking blast. He's like, well, here are some to look at. And I'm like, and so I started looking them up. And you know, I went to the Running Guns website. It's called Gun Run US or something like that.
Gunrun.us, yeah.
Yeah, the gunrun.us. And you can look and see what events he has going on. And you know, just went looked at the other events. Some of them, you know, don't work for me. But then below that, which I found really interesting,
Right,
is
similar style and affiliate. Is that what you're talking about?
yes,
Yeah.
it shows the different events that are very similar to what he runs around the country.
Fair.
And some of them are the same ones that Darren told me, hey, go look at this, look at
Yeah.
that. And so
Our friend Brendan from RPGI is on here.
he is.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I have a radius on where I'm willing to travel. I
Yeah.
don't necessarily want to break that radius because I don't want to make everything about me and going to matches. You know, I don't want to, kind of like what we've talked about with Parker Tomasi and in others. Like, I want to be allowed to go, not saying I am going.
Yeah.
I want to stay committed to my initial plan for this year of keeping everything within a certain distance. That way I can get maximum time here.
Yeah, completely makes sense. And we are trying to get the match director for the run gun or the gun run on to for a future episode. So yeah, it's definitely want to. I want to try one at one point. Don't know when that will be, but I'm definitely willing to give it a shot. It looks like a very cool event.
Yeah, barbed wire sucks as well.
Yeah, I don't. That always sucks. I always get caught. I have like a couple pairs of ripped up camis just because, you know.
Well, everybody, whenever I got like some people at work were like, are you updated on your tetanus shot? I was like, I don't fucking know. They're like, you might want to check that out. So I did, like, so I still have access to MOL, which has like a medical portion in there, and I looked it up, and my 10 years was last month. I was like, I'm probably okay. At this point, I know I'm okay,
Yeah.
but I do need to go get that vaccination.
Yeah. Damn.
So
Well.
enough about me. What about you?
Yeah, I guess so we talked about taking a step back. I had to go through something similar. Had a discussion with my wife about how much I was shooting, and it shows. Last year, I shot a lot more local matches. I shot a tactical games in March. I shot championships, and then RPGI day and night, and then Dragon's Cup, and then Delmarva, all in the month of April. This year, I've shot five local matches, two of which have been Quantico USPSA, and then I've shot one major. I think if I'm going to talk about like how this year has been going so far, I kind of need to talk about the off season because, coming out of IPSC Nationals last year, I knew that there were things I needed to go back and reassess foundationally, like things as small as support hand grip, firing hand tension. I put the dot occlusion back on just to get the target focus back on. The reloads, like everything, I just I went back, I reassessed, and I spent maybe like a week just working on each thing individually, which was super monotonous, but it kind of has paid dividends. I think the other thing that's progressed is shooting on the move. There were some matches where that was the only thing I was doing, like targets at 20, 25 yards, small poppers, like things I would tell myself, like, that's too risky, never do that. Starting to challenge myself and throwing, like, in practice, shooting from that distance and drilling alphas, just figuring out where it breaks down and what's possible. And then going to a local match and seeing it and saying, I practice this, I know how to do it, I'm going to execute it. There was one match I was shooting at Thurmont where Chris Gelnett was like, you're crazy for that. And then he watched me shoot. He's like, well, I have to shoot it now that way because otherwise our time's
You're
a note.
gonna, yeah.
But that's also bitten me in the ass, and that's I think the other thing I've learned is that just going on speed mode and shooting things on the move and taking all that risk, obviously it's going to incur some backlash. So what I
Well,
found.
one thing I've noticed is like you have been taking some of those risks this past weekend. You took some risk and you took the match, but what I have noticed is you are consistently taking matches now.
Yeah.
Like you're taking risk, you're taking chances, and they are paying off, for the most part.
It's bitten me a few times. I was lucky in some instances, like Sir Walter. I went out there, was like, there's no way I won. And then look at the match standings, and I end up taking Dylan Walker by like the slightest percentage. I think he just also shot like an asshole that day. But I guess what I've learned is like when it connects, it connects. And I'm starting to see stage wins by anywhere from like 15 to 20%, like just huge gaps. And before last year, I'd see like 3 to 4 seconds that, the top of the field, the GMs were putting on me. I'd be like, where is that time going? I have no idea. And then having gone back and reassessed, and really just like gone back and like put aggression into a lot of the things I'm doing, but also confidence, I'm starting to see that gap shrink. And it's starting to manifest itself in several ways. You said I was taking matches. And if I show up and there's no open GMs, the expectation is that I put like 5 to 10% on the rest of the field. And I was able to do that the last Quantico match, to the point where Alex called me. He's like, dude, you destroyed everyone today. And part of it was because I was shooting. I was really angry the entire day. Like, as a match director, I repaired a bunch of walls in the morning. Nothing was working. I had to move my classifiers twice. So I was just like super focused, kind of pissed off, and it just kind of worked in my favor. But the other part of it too is that like classifiers don't scare me anymore. And I actually put 100% on two classifiers this last weekend.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm at 93% right now. I need 2 more percentage points to get the GM. So that's next. The major matches are coming up, Delmarva, Mid-Atlantic, and a bunch of others are coming up. So last season kind of went down in flames because the gun stopped working, both myself and Sam Nelson. But I feel confident in the Infinity. There's another one on its way that's going to also be a backup that we're going to be able to switch back and forth. And with a lot of the other changes I've been making, and here's another thing that's been driving me. I should have taken that major match, right? At RPGI, you look at all this the scores. Stage 10 was like a 38% finish. Everything else was 80% above and like 4 stage wins. And that cost me the match. And it was one of those things where like I was like, man, I don't want to see the what if. But I put down like a really slow time for stage 10, and that put me at the top. I think the goal this year is to take a major match, is to make GM. And then I think those are reasonable goals. That's what I'm going to be driving for the rest of the week, for the rest of the year.
So what matches do you have coming up for the rest of the year?
So this
Because
will, yeah.
I know this summer, like you're about to graduate with your master's and you're about to go up to Maryland. So things are going to shift to where there is a bit of an unknown because you're not necessarily going to know what your schedule is, but what do you have planned that you know that you can do for certain?
The match schedule that's been House Commandant approved, that's wife, for those of you that aren't familiar. Delmarva is coming up this weekend when this episode comes out. You'll probably be listening to it while, as I'm shooting Delmarva. Mid-Atlantic in May. In June, it's going to be Area 8 out in Western PA. In July, we're going up to Six Hour Academy for Area 7. That's being run by our very own Chris Scott, who's fantastic match director, is doing great things up there. And then Area 5 in Ohio in August. And then the school semester starts. I am signed up for the Carolina Classic because it's a staff reset match, and Ben Berry's a good friend, and that's always a really good match. And then I don't know. I'm starting to get the itch and wondering if I want to take another stab at nationals, but that's in October. And if anything, I'd be going there just to, you know, support my friend Sam Nelson, because I think he's going to have a really very good season as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I got lined up. It comes out roughly to like a match a month. Oh, and I also signed up for the SIG EDC Championship in June. I'll be up there in the Northeast anyway.
Nice.
After I shot Open KOC weekend, and I basically shot it, and I was like, there's very little I can improve on that performance. Like, there's some quibbles, but I don't really want to deal with the Open gun again. So I actually shot an appendix carry optics, like from concealment, on Sunday. And that's because I know I'm going to go back up to SIG, and it's a hit factor match. It's all PCSL targets. It's something that Chris Scott talked about last time we interviewed him about his match director stuff up there. So I'm excited to see that format. And I don't know. It was kind of fun. I turned to one of the other guys on my squad. I was like, I like this. I might make this my entire personality now.
It would be fitting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny though, because like, you show up with an appendix carry, like Glock 19, and it's just, you're just putting everyone else on notice. Like, you better not let me beat you.
You know what you should do? And me and Chris Scott just joked about this, like, before he got out. Like, he's like, you know what I think I might do? Wear like these Nike trainers and, you know, these really, you know, short cargo shorts and a tucked in polo shirt.
Shorts.
And just look like the absolute, like almost like a Corvette driver, pretty much. And just dress like that and go to a match and just put the lay down on everybody.
Yeah, you look like a dad, but secretly you're a Chad.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's good. And like, it's definitely a practical part, practical shooting, right? Like, I definitely don't practice my carry gun enough, like at all, really. Like, it's gotten pretty bad, honestly. So that's definitely something I should be continuing to work on.
I don't know. For me, I mean, I don't have a lot going on. Like, I can tell you right now, I have 5 matches from next month until November. Maybe 6 more matches total. And that's not including club matches, but like, some of them, I guess you can say, are, I'm doing a Steve Morgan Memorial 2-gun match at Thurmont. You know, a couple friends invited me to go up there to do that. So I'm going to go support. It's a first annual event. Then I got the Duskin match in June. That'll be a really good time. 3-man 3-gun. I don't like missing that. It's going to be me, Brian Ray, and Brian Vaught all over again, working as a team. It's going to be weird. I asked those guys, I was like, hey, I know you guys have tube fed shotguns, but do you want to just put dots on your pistols and, let's shoot open division, even though you have tube feds? And they're like, nah. I'm like, shit, fine. I'll get back used to quad loading again. I mean, it'll be easy enough. Yeah. The Double Star Mountain State 3-gun championship. That's a match that I enjoy year after year. I didn't shoot it last year because I was shooting the TTG team event. And I felt really bad just because I had a lot of friends that were up there shooting it. but I'm going back this year. It's going to be a really good time. I do want to bring Brittany onto the podcast because she helps her dad with that match. And it's, you know, it's out in Beckley, West Virginia. It's pretty awesome. You know, there's natural terrain, there's bays. It's just a really fun match to go to and just hang out with everybody. Darren from Red Stitch is going to be out there taking photos, like finally getting him back out to a major match to shoot some photos and hang out. You know, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. You got a steel match coming up too, don't you?
Yeah. So that was the next one I was going to talk about, the Intergalactic Falling Steel match. I was talking to the guys over at ORTAC. They're a training group here in the Northern Virginia area. And, one of them's a friend of mine. And so like I posted this like skin tight, like alien suit, which I'm not going to do the skin tight alien suit, but like we were talking, me and Darren were talking, I was like, how about I show up as like the Predator or some shit like that? You know, something a little off the wall, but would be good for marketing for his match. Like, so that's going to be a really good event. You know, he's got a really good concept going on there. All his steel's going to be showcased. It's a 1-day match. It's the same day as the Maryland State Championship, or it's the same weekend, but both matches are 1-day format. So you can go from one to the other. There's cash prizes. If you win a stage, if you win the match in your division, you get $1,000. So that's really cool. The format that he's bringing on there, and it's just going to be a really good time. You know, I'm probably going to be there the entire time, even though I'm just shooting 1 day, but that's mainly just for the community aspect of it, just to hang out with people, meet people, shoot. I might do some interviews, and get some stuff for Instagram. He has done a lot for this community. He has provided a lot for this community. And if you're listening and you're in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, PA area, shoot, even North Carolina, West Virginia, come out to the match. It's going to be a really good freaking time. After that, there's Memorial. Memorial is going to be a good time. And then at the end of the season, you got the Fall Brawl, which that's going to be going at Coleman's Creek. It's going to be a new venue down in North Carolina. It's not a new venue, but it's a new venue for Three Gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about that range before. They
mainly shoot PRS.
Right. So it's very good for that sport. But that'd be cool. Can't wait to see what Jason does with that.
Yeah. So, that's kind of this season in a nutshell. Like I said, I do want to get some more running guns in. It's just a matter of, do I do it more again this season or do I wait till next season? I don't want to stretch myself too thin. Like I said, I'm going back to school. That needs to take priority. And we'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this insight into what we've had going on in the background, but also what's coming up for us. We'll probably do another one of these near the end of the year. But rest assured, we have some really great content coming your way. You know, Matt mentioned Brittany Long. The match director, his name's Ellis. Yeah. Ellis from Run and Gun. We do have some retrospectives on the Marine Corps Championships that we have brewing up. So plenty of content coming your way. Please let us know how we're doing. If you have requests and you want to see some additional content out there, just let us know and we'd be happy to oblige. But anything else to add?
No, I think that's it. One thing, me and Darren were talking about at the end of like each day of the Falling Steel match, we're talking about going over to the casino and drinking some bourbon and gambling. Nice. So you should join us. But other than that, we hope you enjoyed this. We hope for those of you shooting Delmarva, we hope you have a good time there and achieve what you're trying to achieve.